studied the parable of the revealed light and covers it up. After all, to do so would defeat the whole point of light. It's set on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Prophetic turn, as Jesus explains that there are no secrets that will not be come to light. Now, personally, I find that whole notion a bit I don't want revealed. I'm sure none of you feel that way. The remarkable thing is that he still loves us. Resistance. It's often because people don't like the... As John explained it, Jesus brought light into the world. Deeds were evil. So it is that many people will try to take, hoping that by doing so they might be able to keep their secrets from being able to cover up the truth of God, but science continues to reveal the hand of the creator of skepticism. But skepticism, honestly pursued, continues. You can draw the curtains. You can cover your eyes. Our material for this morning found in Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 25. His mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. Synagogue in Nazareth, when he first claimed to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's messianic prophecy. Of course, back then, the crowd from his hometown wanted to throw him off a cliff. But since that, taking a miracle, or at least hoping to witness one. Jesus, when his mother and brothers came to see him, they could not approach him because of a little bit of a sidebar. Some of the early church, as the mother of Jesus, they began to see her as something far more. In fairness, her role in the incarnation of Christ was so unique. And in the end, some of the early church fathers concluded that Mary was created as God's chosen vessel for his immaculate conception. The Roman Catholic Church, that Mary was a perpetual virgin. And for the duration of her earthly life, Mary never had any other children. This would mean that Jesus never had any brothers or sisters. That in turn, and this isn't the only place in the Gospels where the siblings of Jesus are mentioned. His Gospel, the locals who had heard the claim Jesus made that day, isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, aren't his? Well, rather than allowing these facts to inform or interfere with their veneration of Mary as these alluded to here as cousins, or perhaps, of course, there's little evidence for such a view beyond the fact that it insists on making Mary something more than a devoted servant of God. Blessed among all women. But there is no need to. She would not become defiled by having relations with her own husband. After all, it was only by the grace of God that she was worthy to bear Christ. It would only be half-brothers and half-sisters because, of course, we know Joseph was not the biological. Scholars believe that he's not mentioned here because he had died before this event took place either. But then again, that assumption ends up making little difference. I beg the question, why did his mothers and brothers come to see him at all? They don't appear to be present to hear his teaching. In fact, Mark tells us they sent to him, calling him, as if they had a message, news of Joseph's death. Maybe they had need of something that only Jesus was concerned about his well-being. After his reception in Nazareth, there. And by the way, it wasn't just neighbors who bristled at the notion that Jesus could be. Verse 5, even his brothers did not believe in him at first. Mary and his brothers came to see Jesus. However, it does. I think most of us would probably regard family as a pretty high priority. Biblical principle. You can find it in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." Busy at this point, either teaching or healing, which would explain why the crowd had gathered around him, he felt that the presence of family wanting to see him justified this, desiring to see you. The unspoken expectation, whatever it is he was doing, and immediately respond to the needs of his family. Them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God. Once again, Jesus defies expectations. Strangers would extend all the more to his family. Yet he needs of his family for the greater, more immediate need of the crowd around him. Nor the concerns of Mary or his brothers. At the same time, we have no particular. By faith, we must believe that Jesus knows best. And what he judged. So he answered, and he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these." I found it interesting that Jesus didn't specify that we must hear, believe, and obey. I mean, on this occasion, Jesus leaves out the belief part because, frankly, from his point of view, if you hear, the do it shows up. Therefore, genuine belief in Jesus is not as elusive. Always express itself in action. It will always be followed. Put our faith in Jesus. We can know that we are saved because we have become part of his family. We are adopted into the household of God. As it says, and for Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Those or belong to the right social club. We're not part of God's family because we have the right opinions in Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear his call on our lives. He calls us to do. As Jesus himself put it, my mother and my brothers are these who. We're not saved because we're Jewish. Most are all people. Church every Sunday for 20 years, although either of those things might inevitably lead to the gospel and respond with a faith that leads to obedience. For Scripture is clear, we are saved by faith and not by works. A good metric for quantifying the depth, maturity, and sincerity of saving faith that isn't also a transforming faith. Indeed, as we've said, we'll be expected to change our lives here and now. And notice, we'll address their concerns in due time. But for now, his ministry. We have parents here this morning who places. These children are not repudiating their responsibility to their Heavenly Father. Just so, we support missionaries, translate the Bible. They all sacrifice time with their own kids. Still, I believe that God honors the sacrifice that parents and children make when. Remember that Jesus, as he hung John, even when he could no longer be expected to provide for her needs. In Luke 14, Jesus invited began to make excuses. One of them explained that he had bought a piece of land to test them. Still another said he had married a wife and therefore can't go anywhere. For the invitation to believe in Jesus and to be blessed with forgiveness of sins and the free gift of salvation, but most respond only with excuses. And in every justifying their rejection of the invitation. Nobody buys land first. And nobody gets married expecting that having a wife will prevent. Seriously. If you ask a woman out on a date and she says she's busy that night rearranging her. Want to go out with you. The untidy sock drawer is. And if you think you've been hurt by the rejection of others, just imagine of the sacrifice he made to perfect the invitation in the first place. God, because we who have believed are children of God. family of faith from having an audience with Jesus. Verse 20, disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake, and they launched out. Revealing event in the life of Jesus. He begins by telling us that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, but we know there were many disciples following him by this time, including many women. We can certainly imagine that many of them were not. We may write four of them used for fishing. You can find that in the beginning of chapter 5. But in Mark, since most of his ministry has taken place in Galilee, when Luke says they crossed over to the demon-possessed man in Gadarenes. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down. Experts are quick to point out that violent storms do rise up quickly on the Sea of Galilee. The water is almost 700 feet below sea level, and it's bounded by high mountains. But while this tempest may have been the immediate result of, some have suggested that this particular storm was actually of satanic origin. That it might, and why not? We often say that timing is God's signature in a similar way. Sometimes. Well, we sometimes like to think that when suppose that believers living in obedience to God have a way of annoying the enemy. Indeed, it has often been suggested that the devil wants nothing more than for you. The problem with this explanation that it was somehow a demonic storm lies not in, but he can't. Indeed, as powerful as the enemy is, and even if he did, such power would only extend as far as God himself allowed. Luke describes how the windstorm came down on the lake. Exact storm on their boat, saying they were filling with water, which of course might cause them to sink. We may assume that they were bailing the water out as fast as they could. This would have left them feeling especially discouraged and demoralized, giving way to, of course, they knew Jesus was able to work miracles. They had seen a withered hand or raised to life one who had been dead. This was despite this chaotic scene. Luke tells us, as they sailed, Jesus had been weary from the start and likely fell asleep shortly after they launched out. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. A particular fact to be heartwarming. Of course, all of this serves to. He bled when he was pierced. And he slept. At the same time, the disciples must have marveled, as we do, even during a mighty windstorm. Have peace of mind during the storms of life. After all, would each live before we were even born? And since that's true of God, which surpasses all understanding. That said, it appears the 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, make the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased. And they're like most of us so often do, the disciples for help. And it's a sign of their love for Jesus. But now, they had clearly reached the end of their rope. And terror. And from a certain point of view, they believed that Jesus could do something to save them. But still, kind of proof. You know, from where we stand, Paul allowed the windstorm to batter this little convoy in order to build their faith. Disciples will need a strong faith for the challenges that lay ahead. But as they showed their faith when they came to him, the response of Jesus is immediate. Instead, he calmed their fears by calming the storm. As Luke describes, calm. Once again, the fact that Jesus was asleep when that the storm went to sleep when Jesus spoke? If we were found rebuking the wind, we'd be dismissed by a metaphor used to describe futility and foolishness. Is exercising control over the world that he himself created. As Psalm 77 puts it, the waters, just so Psalm 89 says of God, you rule the raging sea. Who but God, I ask, can speak to the sea, and it obeys him. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they, for he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Water, Jesus now rather gently rebukes his disciples. He said, and in his slumber, it seems fair that his disciples would assume that Jesus, but they should have known that our heavenly Father never sleeps. And because he knew, and let's not forget, Jesus was the one who proposed the other side of the lake. The disciples should have trusted that they would safely reach that destination. No safer place on earth than to sail with Christ on the sea of life. The old hymn proclaims, no water can swallow the ship where lies. Still, personally, I have little problem with their response. I mean, if it were me, I'd have been thinking, well, I'm going to say, why didn't you wake me up? So, unbelief. We have seen Jesus perform miracles in our Luke says they were afraid and marveled in his hands. And they marveled for the same reason. Fear can merge with wonder when we see God at work in our lives. I think there's something more to it than that. By asking where their faith was, you see, the power of God doesn't simply exist in the abstract in much he cares for us. In turn, this story should be a parable of the soils a few weeks back. When we hear the word with a noble and bear fruit with patience. And who can this be? Jesus asked this very question. Surely he's a teacher, but he's clearly more than that. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the promised Messiah, the Lord and Savior. He can do for the troubled, storm-tossed disciple this very day. God does not require a perfect faith. In the storms of life, we often despair. We try everything in our power. When we finally call on Jesus for help, he responds in love, and we are astonished at his Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is seen exercising, and time after time, we see all these obey his word. Then again, of all of these, only man has any length of time, then you've already answered this question. You've already made your choice. You have the promise of eternal life as a child of God. All that remains is to hear the word of God. And you have not yet decided who Jesus really is. Any hope at all beyond this life. We are all sinners for us in this. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He longs to save you, no matter where you're from, no matter. While there's still time. We read of your miracles and we are amazed. Even if we've. But if you can't calm the sea, why should we believe you can save us as an empty promise? But if you can rule the waves, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for your compassion, for your love and kindness. Thank you for increase our faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.